It is finished. No, that's not quite right. Jesus actually only cries out one word from the cross as he dies, tetelestai, finished. Now, the word finished can have both a negative and a positive meaning. On the negative side, it means finished, you're done, you're through. So when Jesus cries out, finished, it means his life is at an end. The crucifixion has done its job. He dies, bloody and alone. But finished also has a positive meaning to it. It is finished. It's completed. It's accomplished. So when Jesus says finished from the cross, it means that the work is done. His sacrifice is completed. But not just his death, but his entire work, all the way from his incarnation, all the way back through history to before the beginning of time, when it was determined before anything existed that Jesus would save us by dying on a cross. Finished. But when Jesus says finished, what does that mean? What are the outcomes of this? What ramifications do these words have upon us? Well, when Jesus says finished, that means there's no more work to be done. Now, I know we know this. We know this. We know that we are not saved by our works. We know that we need Jesus desperately, and we are certainly eternally grateful for this. But what happens is that we feel compelled to demonstrate our gratitude in some way. We have to show that the gospel actually took in our lives, that the death of Jesus Christ actually means something for us. And so this often takes the form of a transformed life. Because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for me, I'm going to love more. I'm going to love my spouse more. I'm going to love my kids and my grandkids more. I'm going to love my neighbor more. I'm going to love my coworker more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to go to worship more. I'm going to give more. I'm going to serve more. I'm going to avoid sin. I'm not going to give into it. I'm not going to give into my anger. I'm not going to give into jealousy or envy. I'm not going to say anything bad to anybody. I'm not going to do anything that's going to hurt others. I'm going to trust in God. I'm not going to doubt him. I know he's good. And on it goes. And it's all good. Until we start doing all this more and more, we start to actually believe that this counts something before the Lord. You know, that we're doing this to maintain his favor toward us. As it is, the lyrics go in the song Best News Ever by the Christian band Mercy Me, some say he's keeping score. So try hard, try a little more. But then the lyrics go on. Well, hold up. If this were true, explain to me what the cross is for. You see, what started out as showing gratitude for the death of Jesus Christ for us turns into an endless ladder that you and I climb, and we keep climbing, and we're never finished. And the cry of Jesus, "It is finished," gets drowned out. There was a man who owned a home, and it had a faulty roof, and there was absolutely nothing he could do about it. Why? Because he was seriously ill at the hospital bedridden. He couldn't physically go and fix his roof, and neither could he pay someone to fix his roof because of his astronomical medical bills. So he just laid in bed and just fretted and worried. And a friend came to see him, and he told his friend, "Can you go check on my roof?" "Sure, you got it." So his friend went, and the next day came back and said, "It's worse than you thought. It's not just a bad roof. Now it's gotten so bad that it's threatening the very house itself. It's gotten into the living room. The foundation is starting to crack. If you don't fix this ASAP, you're going to lose it all." And the man just, he didn't know what to do. He was despondent. So he continued to worry and fret because he couldn't do anything. Well, a week passed, and his friend came back with some good news. He said, "You know what? On my own, I hired a contractor and fixed the roof. But not only that, we made some upgrades to your home, and now it's actually better than what it was before. It's done. Work's all done. Just enjoy it." When Jesus cries, "Finished," he does all of the work. It's done. There's nothing more to do. He dies for your sin. He gives you forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation. He reconciles you with God. And you do not have to do a thing. You never have to do a thing, either before or after. Your forgiveness, your salvation, your relationship with God is never dependent upon your doing, your striving, trying harder. It's all His work, and you get to receive it. You get to trust it. You get to enjoy it. It's finished. And when Jesus cries out from the cross, "Finished," it also means there is no sin left untouched. That's a hard pill for us to swallow, isn't it? Why is that? Well, that's because when we look at sin, we look at it in degrees. We look at some sin, we think, "Oh, that's easy to forgive. You know what I'm talking about, the little white lies, little inconveniences, little bumps and bruises, the little scuffles that, you know, it's just kind of more of a nuisance. Oh, sure, you're forgiven. No problem." But then there are some sin that you actually believe is unforgivable. It's so horrible, so evil, so vile, it leaves such a deep scar, it impacts your life and just hangs over it. It can't be forgiven, can it? And you know what I'm talking about. Someone who commits mass murder, picks up a gun, walks into a public place, and just starts shooting young and old. Talking about the adulterers, talking about those that break apart marriages, break apart families, destroy relationships, all because they give in to their selfish desires. Talking about the addicts, talking about those who just ruin everything because they can't stop going to the bottle, can't stop going for the pills. Talking about the abusers, those who take advantage of the innocent. The abuse, the verbal, the physical, and worse. You see people doing these sins, and boy, you and I are quick to judge, aren't we? We either judge and we just say, boy, you better clean up. You better make this right. You better fly right. Or more likely, you know what? I think they're hopeless. They're beyond hope. Let them rot. But then when you find yourself doing these horrible, vile sins, well, then you either despair yourself. You look at how horrible it is, how much you have hurt those you have loved, and you think, there's nothing. There's no forgiveness. Or, I'll make it up to you. I'll try something. I'll do anything. I'll do anything to get your forgiveness. But all this does is lead to exhaustion because you never know when you've done enough to get their forgiveness, or it leads to bitterness because you have put the entire burden of forgiveness of sin on them, and maybe they don't really feel like forgiving you. You see, this is what happens when the burden of sin is on your shoulders. It just leaves you in this fog of self-righteousness or despair, and you are unable to see the Son of God hanging on a cross, crying out, finished. I remember going to a family reunion when I was a little boy on my mom's side of the family. It was at one of her relatives' house, and it was a good time. I loved seeing family. But probably the best part about that family reunion was that one of my second cousins had gotten a brand new motorcycle. Oh, yeah, brand new. And had brought it to the reunion and had parked it out in the backyard. Now, of course, they told me, don't go touch the motorcycle. So what did I do? Well, when everyone sat down for lunch, I snuck off without telling anyone and went to go look at the motorcycle. Oh, it was beautiful. All chrome and new leather. It was just awesome. But when I reached out to grab the handlebar because, you know, I was going to sit on the seat, I didn't realize that the kickstand wasn't fully engaged. And as I grabbed the handlebar, I ended up pulling this entire motorcycle down on me. Now, nothing was broken. It did hurt, but nothing got broken. But I was pinned under this motorcycle. I tried with my puny little boy arms to push it off. There was no way. I cried out, help, help. They didn't know I was out there. I started running through this, like, am I going to be here for like hours while they finish their lunch and they get into conversation and catching up? I started crying because I felt completely helpless. Thank God, a half hour later, someone noticed that the motorcycle had fallen over, and they came out, and someone stronger, someone able to lift that motorcycle off of me, came out, lifted it off, and I was saved. Why did Jesus cry out in a loud voice right before he died? Well, I'm sure he was in unbearable pain, but he was in unbearable pain throughout his crucifixion. Why right before his death? Well, I believe it's because he is literally carrying the weight of the entire world on his shoulders. And that's good news. Because Jesus takes all sin upon himself. He takes your sin. He takes my sin. He takes everyone's sin. He takes all the sin that you think, that's easy to forgive. He takes all the little white lies, all the little bumps and bruises of everyday life that you're like, oh, not that big a deal. He actually takes that upon himself. And he takes the sin that you and I think is unbelievable. the mass murderer, the adulterers, the addicts, the abusers. Whatever you believe is unforgivable, he takes that upon his shoulders and he pays for it, and it's gone. It's done. It's finished. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever sin is just hammering away at you, whatever has you feeling guilt or shame to the highest degree, whatever is in your life that just is like a pall over you or has you losing sleep, Jesus lifts that off of your shoulders and puts it onto his, and he says, it is finished. But he also lifts the burden of sin off your shoulders onto himself. You don't need to look at your evil, vile sin that you think is unforgivable, and you feel hopeless. You feel like, I can't receive forgiveness. Or you're thinking, how can I make this up? How can I pay for this? No, you just get to trust it's forgiven. And when you see others and their horrible, evil, vile sin, you don't need to take it upon yourself to say, hey, you need to clean up. You need to get it together before you get forgiven. Or you don't even need to write them off at all. You just get to announce to them, finished. Finished. Jesus dies on the cross. Finished. There's no more work to be done. The work of atonement is done. There's nothing more to do by him or by you. Finished. All sin has been taken away. All sin. So while my message is finally finished, the good news that these words proclaim, oh, they last forever. Amen.